Tanya and Steve's bits you may have missed.
Geez, have you ever seen a story that had two sides to this one?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. Codeine, as you would have known, we've been forewarned that from tomorrow we will have our access restricted to codeine, in the sense that you won't just be able to walk into the pharmacy and get it. You will have to get a prescription.
Means you have to go to the doctor.
Yeah. And already pharmacists are saying, you know, there is people that are trying to stockpile it or have been.
Yeah.
One of our local well-known pharmacies, Scott Dibben, he's even out of codeine completely.
Wow.
So we thought we'd get a bit more info from our resident doctor extraordinaire, Dr. Bridie O'Donnell, and she's with us. G'day, Doc.
Good morning. How are you both?
Good.
Bridie, there is absolutely an issue of dependency out there for it, isn't there?
There certainly is, and obviously this is a small group of the community that are abusing and or addicted to it, and it's giving them adverse effects. We need to be very careful. We've heard certainly a lot of news out of the United States about the number of people that are addicted to opioids and the number of deaths that could be avoided by opioid overdose. But as you said earlier, it's a really challenging area of discussion because a lot of people with chronic pain use opioid or codeine-containing products to help them manage their illnesses and injuries.
And see, this is the world we're moving into because already, you know, you're dying of the flu and it's so hard to get in to see your doctor. You know, you get told in a week's time, and now they're going to be even more jammed with people wanting a simple prescription for codeine.
Absolutely. And I also think that interesting news that came out yesterday around the number of unnecessary visits to the emergency department, it's estimated there are over a third of them could be managed by a GP or an after-hours doctor. So I think it does highlight some of the significant challenges that the way our healthcare system is functioning, but also the way our perceptions as users, you know, so the customers or patients that utilise health services, having, I suppose, educating them about the best ways to go about managing illness and injury and maintaining good relationships with your doctors. That's always a big challenge, is to get a doctor that you know and like, so that if you need to go to that practice and that doctor's not there, they at least have your history and understanding of your background and why you're on particular medications, so that you don't have to kind of explain it over and over again.
For the people that aren't involved with it though, Bridie, can you give a rough, and I mean, obviously it's a brand giveaway to a degree, but knowing what the change is, because most people on codeine, they'll go, yeah, well, I know that's me. People that don't, so are we just talking about your basic Nurofen, things like that?
Look, anything that contains codeine, so Nurofen Plus, Panadeine and Panadeine Forte all right. contain codeine. So you can still use paracetamol, which is one of the most effective ways to reduce fever. So that in itself, and Nurofen alone, which is an anti-inflammatory drug, they can still be really useful for the flu, because most of our pain, aches and pains with a really bad case of the flu can be eased with those medications. The other issues, though, are around really severe pain, like a terrible abscess in your tooth, for example, or lower back pain that's very acute and needs to be managed in the short term. They're the things that often people have been using Panadeine or Nurofen Plus for. Oh. And it is a very effective drug for some things. It's really good for chronic cough. It's good for diarrhea. Its action is actually not the best for chronic pain. But unfortunately, because we've been using it in that way, and I say we as in practitioners, but also patients, that's why we've actually reached this terrible point where we've been abusing it as a general rule, and that's leading to really significant health issues.
But when we talk about, and you even said it in your intro, you were saying a small group of people. So, like, the small is affecting the many. We're all now being kind of held to ransom by a few people, and I don't know what the numbers are, and that's why I'm asking you, what percentage of people have a real issue with the drug so that the rest of us are now so inconvenienced with accessing it?
Yeah, I don't know if holding us to ransom is probably the right way to explain it, because in fact I think what the challenge is that we know a small group of people for sure have an issue with addiction, but the challenge is a significant portion of people are using this as their go-to medication.
Right.
And that's what we don't have a measure on, but that's what, and we have to take the advice of both of the AMA and the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners. They're a group of people who don't want to put their GPs and other doctors under undue load. They're not doing this as a punitive measure to punish people. They're doing it for the safety of, I mean, the number of people who are on polypharmacy, which means those people who are possibly older or have chronic disease who are on multiple types of medications. Those drugs not only have an impact on you, but they interact with other drugs. So they affect the way things work, and that might mean that you think, oh, my pain's still there, I'll take more of that one or less of this one. And that's not being done with the good advice of a pharmacist or a practitioner. And so it's, again, it seems as though it's a challenge for people who say, hey, I don't have a problem with abusing codeine and I just want to be able to give it to someone with chronic pain. But that's, it's again, it's that education piece that we're trying to get through and allow people to make the right decisions for their health.
Bridie, well, we've got you here. The behind-the-counter chemist show your driver's licence Codral flu tablets. Have they got codeine in them?
Some of them do, yes. And are you building up a stockpile?
I will be today. I'm getting a truck.
Now, you will remember, you do mention that. It's interesting. Remember a while ago when there were concerns about pseudoephedrine and PLABs? And so, again, you had to show identification so that there was a becoming a register of people if they were purchasing excessive amounts of Sudafed or pseudoephedrine when it contained high doses of that. Because of we can argue, yeah, they're really effective cold and flu tablets. But if there's a subgroup of the community that are using this, turning it into something else and selling it to our teenage kids, that's really worrying. So I don't think showing your driver's licence or giving some information is a significant price to pay when we think about the adverse effects of abuse of those drugs.
Not at all.
No, I don't mind that at
no.
all.
No. Should
You're okay with the ID?
I'm completely fine with ID, but I don't want to go to the doctor every time I need another packet.
Yeah.
Bridie, just a quick one before we do let you go. With the knowledge and the study that pharmacists have to do to be pharmacists, will we ever see a day when they're allowed to fill prescriptions, or if they know their like, you know, their patients, so to speak, or not? Will it
always?
I
think that's a great question, and I agree. They're not only highly trained and educated, but
because
they
we want
are
to
that,
declog what we're talking about with emergency wards and even GPs. We'll declog it.
We absolutely do. Probably the care needs to be taken both to protect patients and pharmacists to allow adequate time. So the idea that you might form a queue in a pharmacy and say, mate, this is what's going on, and he or she says, sure, here's your script. It does remove a little bit of that time required to take an adequate history and to get a sense of your other illnesses or, you know, physical history. So I know we all think those things are a drag, and I think sometimes a lot of people say, just, I know what I've got wrong with me, just give me the script. But it really is the way doctors, pharmacists, physios, all of those health practitioners are educated is to get as much information as possible to make the best decision. So it's a challenge, I get it.
Well, thank you. You cleared a lot of stuff up. We appreciate it. Take care of you.
No worries. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
There's Dr. Bridie O'Donnell with Tanya and Steve.
We've only got two left and it's Wednesday.
Stupid. I know what you're doing. Straight after nine.
Yeah, so do I.
Stockpile. Not, they're not encouraging you to do that, people.
No. You're right, Steve?
No, in fact, no one by any.
For more Tanya and Steve, head to kofm.com.au.